Hello and welcome to another edition of the Crippled Crisp Review. My name, as always, is Marijn, or Captain Kane.
And my name is Sam, or Brace Boy, and this is a podcast about crisps and nerdy stuff, pop culture, and living with a disability sometimes pops up as a subject of this podcast. Not today, I believe, but... Or maybe we'll squeeze it in. Frequent listeners to our podcast, subscribers, people that tune in every week may know that we have a bet going on that you have to get some stuff adapted in and around your house.
Yeah, that's true.
Before the 15th of February.
Yes, and you're doing pretty well.
Yeah, because we did a bet that I said that it wouldn't happen before the 15th. Not that I don't want you to get these adaptations.
But you have some experience.
With the municipality of Amsterdam and all the other companies that are involved with these kinds of this kind of work. And I think that you can, but I'm doing good, right?
If you win the bet,
I get €5.
Yes. And I will give them to you gladly.
Yeah, if you win the bet, likewise. Likewise.
And then we have a drink together.
Then we have a drink together.
But let's not digress anymore. Yeah. This is episode 56 and we have... What do we have for a crisp thing?
Specknobbles.
Specknobbles.
Bacon.
It sounds meaty, bacony, porky stuff.
Yeah, it's pork hides or something like that. What's it called in English?
Yeah.
Crackling.
You have crackling. So a crispy pork skin.
One of the first crisps we do. That is 100% only for meat eaters.
Yeah, it's not vegan, it's not vegetarian, it is very much meat. What is the percentage of pork meat in there? You said it?
96%.
96%.
I don't know what the other 4 is.
Exactly.
I think salt.
Me too.
No, this is actually that's the only two ingredients listed is the pork's the farcan swort, so
yes,
the pork skin.
Yeah.
And salt, that's the only two ingredients. So
okay.
I believe it's
so salty, porky, meaty, not for vegetarians.
Yeah.
I think it's a plus that you can see the crisps in the package that it's see-through, but the rest of the package looks a bit old-fashioned. It's as if these are crisps from the 1960s.
Yeah, but these are crisps from the 1960s probably.
Okay.
This specific bag, but I think this type of crisp is probably a very old type of crisp.
But you can do some marketing and rebrand your brand.
Let's just try them out. I like simple design though, and it's simple design, so I cannot really go hating on
it. Yeah, but I like simple design as well, but this looks even a little...
Too simple.
A bit less simple than real simple, but okay, it's all about the taste. So, let's try them out.
Ooh.
You don't like it?
Nah, it smells a little like fish food.
Yeah.
I have a couple. No, this is not... This is not
you're right.
This is not my type of thing, I think. But
I just try one because it smells a lot like fish food. I hear it crunching over here, so the crunch must be exquisite.
Yeah, the flavor isn't though.
And they are a bit tough.
Yeah, to be honest, I'm not even gonna eat this third one because I'm not a fan.
Okay.
This is not
me
my
either.
My piece of crisp.
No.
Well, it's
so do we need to review the smell, the crunch and the taste, or do we just give it a half bag out of 5?
Nah, we can we let's do it. Let's give it a. We always give. Let's just the crunch is very good. That's the only thing though.
Yeah.
But it's a tough crunch.
Yeah.
So it's very crunchy, but it is not the right type of crunch that I really like in a sense. The smell is fish food, like we said a couple of times before now.
And it doesn't flavor, really have a taste.
Yeah, the flavor is mostly salty.
Yeah.
But not even nice salty. It is. No. It is. Yeah. Now, half a bag is, I think it's a generous marking.
I made these once myself.
Yeah.
With Pigskin.
Yeah.
And I like the taste better from my own.
But how did you make it then? Did you also only use salt or did you use other spices?
No, I used ground fennel.
Yeah.
Ground fennel a little seeds. Bit of pepper.
Yeah.
Not just salt. You need the salt to...
Yeah, of course. It's salt. You need salt in everything. You need even salt if you make cookies nowadays. So... Well, not nowadays. That this has been around forever.
But I spiced it up a little.
Yeah.
Pun intended.
No. But that's good, right?
Yeah. And because these are very dry as well.
But that's the thing that it really that the aftertaste it just sucks all the moisture out of your mouth. So
yeah.
It's,
yeah. So I'm going.
It's not really I'm going a to pleasant. Take a sip, it's not really a pleasant experience. Right? Can I just say that?
Yes. Again, when I made them myself, they were still a little bit fatty because they weren't completely dried out in the oven.
True. Yeah.
And then you have a little bit of chew on there.
Yeah.
And that makes it interesting.
Yeah.
And I didn't use that much salt. So you also had the pork experience.
Yeah. Yeah, but this is
but
not...
these...
No.
No, I don't really like them.
No.
So half a bag.
Half a bag. The thing is that... This is the I don't know if we mentioned this, but this is the natural flavored ones. These are
all
naturel, and they also sell them from the same brand with paprika flavor.
Okay, that might be a little bit more interesting.
Yeah, but to be honest, I'm not.
No. I'm not saying you should buy them for next time.
No.
A little bit of extra because these in flavor are really bland.
Yeah,
this doesn't offer that much.
No. Marijn, you, like always, you have prepared another nice trivia. This is pork-related. I saw the script, spoiler alert for everybody listening, I saw the script for this episode, and your trivia is quite...
What do you want to say?
No, this is quite a big trivia for your trivia.
That's true.
It's not, no, what I wanted to say is that it's not as if you normally don't do any research for your trivia because you always do extensive research. But this time you found, you almost found a whole encyclopedia.
It is a whole Wikipedia page.
Yeah,
of which
maybe
the
could
link
start...
we can post in the description. You can visit it yourself to read through it. But
Maybe you should just tell us the highlits, the most interesting bits.
That's okay. It's all about crackling.
Crackling.
Pork skin. There are different kinds. But it's basically the reusing of the pork skin when you slaughter the beast to eat the meat.
Yeah.
And you're left with the skin.
Yeah.
And this is... the website I found said the recipe originated from England. I believe the Midwest.
Of England?
Yeah.
Okay.
The West Midlands.
The West Midlands.
Yeah. And there, it was a very poor area, so they wanted to use everything.
Yeah, that's
logical. From the pig.
I've been in the West Midlands, and those aren't I mean, historically, weren't the richest parts of the country yet.
Yeah.
Birmingham is in the West Midlands, and that's now one. That's now, I believe, the second city of the United Kingdom in size. So that's quite big in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
But so that there's quite a lot of money there now. But I think historically they weren't that.
And they wanted to use everything. So also the skin of the pig.
Yes.
But there are different names to it.
Yes.
There are
some of the names.
Pork scratchings.
Yes.
But those are not the same as pork crackling.
Because what's the difference then? I'm interested.
Wait. And then you also have pork crunch.
Yes.
And you have leaf scratchings.
Okay.
And those are all different things, but all made from pigskin.
Okay. And what's the difference then?
Pork scratchlings are...
Yeah.
Maybe
you should start with the crackling, though.
With the crackling. Oh, that's fine. The crackling is not the type you have with your roast pork. So when you roast the pig, you also get crackling.
Yeah,
this is something different. It's a subtype of the British snack called pork scratchings.
Okay.
So that was explain what I wanted to explain the first, but didn't.
Okay.
But we'll
sorry.
First pork scratchings.
Yes,
then.
Sorry. Yes.
They are not the same as pork rinds or pork crunch, even though they are all snack foods made from pigskin. Pork scratchings are a British snack from deep fried pigskin. They are all served cold, relatively heavy, hard, and have a crispy layer of fat under the skin. So that maybe these are not the scratchlings because we miss the fat.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's a little bit of meat, and if you're really lucky, you might find a few hairs.
I'm happy that we didn't find this.
Yeah.
This,
I don't know why you are happy when you find them, but there must be reason to it.
Probably it will bring you luck or something
it's
superstitious.
Seasoned with salt and some basic seasoning. There are varieties that have additional flavorings, like you would expect from a packet of crisps.
Yes. Okay.
And then you have the crackling, which is a subtype of British snack called scratchlings. So it is under that moniker, but it's not the same. They are cooked twice, sometimes even three times. This makes the skin lighter, more bubbly, and less dense. These are also quite dense and tough,
This sounds more like this.
The fat layer is also cooked in such a way as to make the fat lighter and less oily. Pork crackling are pork scratchlings that your nan could eat because you don't really need teeth like the James Bond character Jaws.
Okay.
So we didn't have crackling, definitely, but probably scratchlings.
Yeah.
They are salted and seasoned, sometimes flavored like pork scratchlings and pork crunch. What a pork crunch? That's something new. What is pork crunch? I hear you think.
Yeah. I just wanted to ask you that, but I'm happy that you do the whole interview yourself now.
Pork crunch, mostly United Kingdom, are the same as pork rinds. That's in the USA. They are made from pigskin. They have no meat, no fat, no hair. Just the rind is fried, which then puffs up. They're usually salted and seasoned.
This is what we had, I think.
I think so,
because
too.
Because we didn't have meat, it was only skin and there was no fat, so...
Yeah. Sometimes they are flavored like pork scratching.
Would not recommend people that are listening...
So, pork crunch or pork rinds, no.
No.
Big no.
No.
Just not what you're looking for.
No.
But there's also leaf scratching... scratchings.
Oh, scratchings, okay.
Yeah. And that is made as a byproduct of the lard making industry. So that's probably lard is
fatty.
Very fatty.
Yeah.
Lard made from the leaf of the pig, the tissue surrounding the kidneys, is superior to other types of lard. And
everybody knows this. This is commonly known.
And when the leaf is clarified, To make the lard, the tissues and bits of meat remain. These bits are then compressed and cooked. The result is flaky rather than crispy, with an intense porky flavor, reminiscent of Parma ham. Leaf okay. scratchings are the rarest of scratchings. You never see them in the shops and rarely in the butchers. So we definitely didn't have those.
No.
I think
those actually sound good. If it tastes like Parma ham, then I want those.
Yeah, because that has some taste to
that,
it.
That's flavor.
But, yeah.
That's
but
where
this,
the flavor train
no.
is. Yeah.
This is all on the Crackling Wikipedia page, yeah. Of which we will post a link in the description if yeah. you want to know.
Yeah, and if you have any further questions to Professor Dr. Anders Marijn, you can send him a message through Twitter or Facebook, or send us an email at podcast@iredcrystal.com.
And if you just have a general question, you can also tweet us
yeah,
or send it
yeah.
to us
yeah.
through mail.
You know how to find us.
Post a response.
Yeah. Marijn, we have talked about Magic the Gathering on this podcast before. Not often, but sometimes we talk about this subject. Today, when we are recording this on the 24th of January,
yes.
Is the big day that Theros Beyond Death, the new Magic the Gathering set of cards,
yes.
is coming out. That's a new 250 cards or something around that number.
I guess. Something like that.
Something mm-hmm. like that. We're going back to the plane of Theros. This is a world that is infested with gods and heroes that represent Greek mythological characters.
Yeah, yeah. They used Greek mythology as an inspiration.
Yeah, because
for
they somehow the company that makes Magic the Gathering Wizards of the Coast is afraid that Zeus and Hercules are copyrighted
yeah.
somewhere.
Yeah.
And that they yeah, can get, yeah, probably they are copyrighted by Disney because Disney made a movie about them. So
yeah, there are multiple companies that made movies about the Greek goddess, gods.
So maybe they are afraid with a reason.
Wizards has always said that they don't want direct influences from our world.
Yeah,
it is a fantasy world, and they expand on it in their own way.
Yeah, but they did sets with straight up historical figures out of history books.
Like?
Yeah, I don't know the set names. You're our magic expert. You've been playing since your...
Yeah,
since
and that's could... why I'm asking why.
No,
because
there's this one set with... That isn't Kamigawa said that some of these Japanese characters have really lived in Japan. I thought so. And there's
as
this,
far as I know,
there's this
not
set about the Middle Ages in England with like names of lords and ladies that have actually lived and with a historical figure. I
don't know.
There was this
really
video on YouTube about this.
Okay, I don't know about this.
Yeah,
this is new.
Please send me personally a tweet about this if you know this better than me, and elsewise, I will just fuck off. Okay, I can't find links we just researched for like 1.5 minutes, so it hasn't been the most extensive of researches, but I can't find a proof for what I was saying is right. So I will hereby say everything I just said about cards with actual historical figures on them is probably wrong. And that's okay. Everybody makes a mistake sometimes. It's good to own up to your mistakes. But
yeah,
okay, let's go back to Theros Beyond Death. Theros Beyond
yeah.
Death is
based in Greek mythology.
Based in Greek mythology with gods with all the kinds of different names. Helios is the big one, I think.
Heliod.
Heliod.
Because Helios, that's quite... how do you say it? Direct reference to Greece or Greek. Helios means sun, I believe.
So it's Heliod.
So Heliod.
And his new card is actually quite good. We're not going to do a whole card review now, but that's a good card. But what I was wondering, we have seen a couple of sets. This set is very based around gods, legendary creatures that are indestructible and that have all types of special abilities. Yes. There are other sets that do stuff with gods, like Amonkhet, that did stuff with gods based around Egyptian mythology.
Yes, that's true.
But I was wondering, do you know about a set with more Viking Viking based cards?
You have there is Ice Age, Ice Age, which is kind of Scandinavian themed, but not as direct as Theros or Amonkhet.
Yes,
but it has a Scandinavian feel to
flavor to it.
Yes, and the name Ice Age. Well, when I think of Scandinavia, I think of cold. And that had a follow up in Cold Snap. It might be influenced a little.
Yeah.
It might be also more like when I think of those sets, it's a bit like Lord of the Rings fantasy or those characters. Type of characters.
So it's a little bit different then. It's not really. So they still might do a set all around Viking mythology.
Maybe, but we've seen quite a lot of different planes in the past couple of years.
Yeah, they are.
We also, of course, have Tarkir, which has a more Central Asian feel.
Yeah, that's more.
Which I think is a very, very nice theme.
Yeah, it is. It is.
It's a pity because I kind of skipped those sets, didn't buy any cards at that point.
Yeah.
And now I think, oh, that's actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
But hey.
And I believe that after Theros, we're going back to Zendikar.
That would be a good one. That would be a good one too.
But Zendikar isn't really based on anything.
No, Zendikar is known for its lands matter.
Yeah.
Theme.
Yeah.
And I'm curious if they are going back to Zendikar. I'm curious how they are going to do that specific theme.
Yeah, yeah.
Lands matter. But first we have Theros Beyond Death, with a lot of enchantments.
Yeah. Well, what's your
and heroic?
What's your opinion about this set so far? You have seen the spoilers.
A couple.
We didn't open
I haven't
bags
seen
yet.
Everything.
We're opening our bags tomorrow, I think, or in during this weekend. What's your?
Well, I like I said, I didn't pay that much attention to Magic for quite some time.
Yeah.
And now with we of course had the return to Ravnica with Guilds of Ravnica.
That was nice.
And I really like that.
War of the Spark was nice.
War of the Spark was nice. Didn't really like Amonkhet, must honestly say.
Didn't really like it either. But there are some cool cards in
But this set, I'm curious. I've seen some cards that are quite powerful. There's a mechanic. I forgot the
escape.
Name of the mechanic.
Isn't it
That you need to remove cards from your graveyard.
Escape,
okay.
Yeah.
I think that is very interesting. There are some very interesting new. I don't know if there are gods, but let me call it titans. If you want to draw the parallel with Greek mythology, and I'm curious about that. I believe they are all two colors.
Yeah.
All those let me call them titans.
Yeah.
I'm very curious about this. Multicolor will still be a theme.
Yeah.
That's
good.
I like that.
I like that too. No, and I'm also very excited about the fact that they are bringing back the sagas, which they did in Dominaria.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
Which is a nice thing that's an enchantment that yeah. has three steps and then it just vanishes.
It removes itself from the game, or destroys itself.
Yeah, you have to discard it though, I believe. But it doesn't matter. Sacrifice it. Never mind. I like those, and I like the. I'm not really enthusiastic about the whole escape mechanic with the thing that you have to exile cards from your graveyard to bring something back from your graveyard. I find that a little redundant that you are exiling cards to bring one specific card. The card has to be like amazingly good if I want to like exile half my graveyard.
Well, let me say this. When a card is in your graveyard, mostly it is done. You can't use it anymore, besides flashback or retrace or things.
In the current, I like to play stuff that gets bigger with Threshold or something else because of my big chunky graveyard that's full of stuff.
And in that case, I would say don't play Escape with Threshold, for example.
Yeah, you're true.
But no. And if you're not playing into such a theme, then I think it is a very interesting and possibly breakable mechanic, because these cards that are in your graveyard have served a purpose already, and you're, unless your deck is built to get another function out of it, they are done, like I said. And this way you can use them to power another creature out, or to use an ability. And I think that is very strong. It's somewhat reminiscent of Yama's Will. I don't know if you don't know card.
No.
Yama's Will is a spell that says that you can play cards from your graveyard.
Yeah.
Until end of turn.
Yeah.
And when you play them again, they are exiled.
Okay, cool.
But that is very... So you get a second use out of a card that you already used and can't use anymore.
Yeah. No, but for instance, in the Guilds of Ravnica set, we talked about... You had these cards that were very that had jump start, you know. Jump start, and then
kind
you
of flashback.
Flashback, and then you can play them from your graveyard, and you discard another card to your graveyard, which is helpful in a sense, which helps you develop your graveyard to again use the cards in your graveyard, and I like that better.
But only if your deck is themed around making your graveyard do funky things.
True.
And well, maybe you should approach these escape cards a little bit differently.
Yeah, I get that.
And some of them are very powerful. I've seen that Elspeth returns.
Very good. Yeah.
Some of the Titans, or all of the Titans, have
Those are good too. Cool.
Have
too.
Escape, and they have very powerful abilities.
Yeah. No, and I really like the new Archeo card that's coming out, because it creates creatures that if they do damage to an opponent, the opponent mills itself for a couple of cards, and then you...
If I draw an Ashiok from the cards, I will be definitely open to trading it with you.
Yeah, it's quite an expensive card. I already looked it up. Now, but maybe we should just open some packs. All our listeners, thank you for listening. Also, a warm welcome. Thank you to Audio Geeks.
Yeah, as always.
Yeah, please share this episode with all your friends.
Like it.
Yeah, subscribe if you haven't.
Leave a comment.
Leave a review, and tweet at us. Send us messages on Facebook, Instagram. or send us an email at podcast@iratechris.com.
And until next time, that is how the crisp crunches.